My father was 19 years old when he was at the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. And after he left Hawaii, he spent 3 years in the jungles of New Guinea, so 4 years in the war, and came home and put his nose to the grindstone and tried to build the Great Society with every other kid that lived through the Depression. And early on, for some reason, he got it in his mind that he wanted to be buried at Arlington Cemetery. And his family fought him because we thought it was too far from home. I didn't really know what he had lived through that made him feel so entitled to such a big burial. And then 12 years ago, he got meningitis and nearly died. And when he came out of the coma, he again said that he wanted to go to Arlington. That following year, I was scheduled to teach out in Washington, D.C., and so I took him with me, and I actually took him to Arlington. He had never been there before. And just seeing what it meant to him, you know, it just melted my heart, saying, okay, try to get him here. So I took him to the burial office, and only to find out that they told us that they had their quota of World War II vets. I thought, I didn't know there was a quota on number of vets. And he needed a minimum of a Silver Star to get in, and he didn't have that. So we came home, and I just started talking to him more about the war, interviewing him. And in his paperwork, I found a nomination for the Silver Star. And I said, geez, Dad, this is the medal you're going to need to get in. So where is that medal? He said, I didn't get it. I don't even remember being put in for it. And I thought it would be easy. So I called up Congressman Obie's office and said, apparently you owe my dad a Silver Star. Why don't you send it? And it doesn't work like that at all. It took 2.5 years of traveling around the country, trying to find the guys that he flew with, trying to put together all of his paperwork to make a case for this. And after a lot of no's, finally they awarded him the Silver Star. So now he can get into Arlington. And I'm thinking the story is over and everything's great. A week later, after the medal ceremony, he tells me he's not happy that he got the Silver Star and into Arlington because two of the other guys that he had flown on that flight with, they also were nominated for Silver Stars. I had figured that out when I found the paperwork. And he asked me if I would help them get the Silver Star. So I spent another year and a half getting two more Silver Stars for two more soldiers. And then he finally said to me, I can never repay you for this, but if there's anything that you want, just ask me. And I said, there's one thing I want. I want you to start seeing a psychiatrist with your kids, because my father had was released from the war with what we now would call post-traumatic stress disorder. I believe then they called it shell shock or battle fatigue. And so growing up with him was an exercise in confusion. He could fly into a rage over nothing. He had battle dreams that lasted his whole life that we didn't know about. He turned to alcohol to try to keep it all under control. He lost a lot of jobs. And we thought that we were just growing up with somebody who, you know, was flying just south of the lunatic fringe, and we didn't understand it. He was not so happy about wanting to go see a psychiatrist. He thought it would be really hard to have to re-remember this. And so I jokingly said, well, what were you thinking I was going to ask you for a Mercedes? I said, there's not really much, Pop, that I need from you except to figure out why, what happened to you. So he started seeing a psychiatrist with his children. And it was tough. And for the last two years of his life, he... you know, he found redemption. He learned about what he had lived through, about his post-traumatic stress. He made amends with his family. He fell back in love with my mom. And then at the end of his life, a huge twist in the story happened that I could have never seen coming. And so that's basically what the story is about. I just happened to be a writer who was writing it in real time as it was happening.